And so Paul is reminding them of how intimate their fellowship was. That word koinonia, that's what it speaks of sharing something beyond the weather. You know what I'm saying? Sharing something about the record rockfish that I caught, something that really just grasps and goes deep inside. It's your mom. No, it's the father. It's okay. If it's for me, I'll go ahead and take it. But koinonia, folks, it's fellowshipping in the supernatural event of Christ. That each one of us sitting here today, if you've received Christ into your heart, you've got something very special that you can share with another person here tonight, or this morning, excuse me. Wow, where am I at? And all together, we've got something that binds us and unifies us, and it's special. And when you get with other members of the body of Christ, not necessarily just in this fellowship, but just in the body of Christ, when there's something there that gets beyond any kind of fellowship you can have with someone else that's not. And we've got our blood, blood stick with relatives and family and things like that. And experiences are important too. I mean, we have experiences we share with other people and friends of the past and stuff, and it builds a certain bond in our lives. But that bond, that intimacy that comes from sharing in our common salvation. And this really was a blessing to the church at Philippi. And these people really had a great time together. By the way, we need some more fellowship. When's our next potluck or house-to-house dinner? We need to continue to do that. Open yourselves up to sharing the secrets and the intimacies of your life with another believer. And see if he doesn't knit your hearts in a special way. Awesome thing for someone to be led to Christ out of the world, or to be taken out of a repressive religious system into a freeing knowledge of Jesus' grace. It's an exciting thing. It feels good to do that. It feels good for me to see some of you guys that I just saw just starting out or just getting saved and have grown and matured and God's using you and what a joy it is to see God continuing to work. And he is faithful. He can't deny himself. Jesus said in Luke 12 that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And he wants to. I mean, it's like a hair trigger. Just the blessing of the kingdom of God on our lives. He's just wanting so hard to just let it come, let it flow on you. And it's his good pleasure to do that. We just sort of need to open up and say, all right, I'll take it. And boom, pow, here it comes. And so, just as it is right for me, verse 7, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Can't you just hear and sense his deep love and care one with the other between Paul and this church here? Such a love for them. And I sort of come up with this one. The problem with the church is that we are part of it, really. Pat and I talk about it. I said, what's wrong with our church? I said, it's got people in it. That's the problem, Oh, Lord, give us more problems, But the problem, people are not the problem. The problem is our hearts. You see what I'm trying to get to? Last week's lesson, no. The problem is our hearts. It's not you're on my nerves, but you're on my heart. Can we change that kind of thinking with other people in the body of Christ? And for me as a pastor and Pat and I, that pressure is on us so strongly to start trying to, Satan wants to get attitudes towards people built up in our lives and stuff. And we continually say, you're not getting on my nerves, you're getting on my heart, you see. People aren't the problem. Our heart's the problem. Our heart's the problem because God wants to do a work in your life through the person that seems to be annoying to you. He wants to change you to be more patient, long-suffering, and loving, and kind, and unconditional in your responses to people. And it's a joy. See, it's a change of mind so that rejoicing and joy can come into our lives. And He won't force it. But He gives us permission to hear what He says. And if we're willing to change our mind, our hearts will follow. He promises to do that. He's the only one that can change hearts. And so Paul is pinning, not pounding, while he's in chains in a Roman prison. He's pinning to the body of Christ, not pouting to them, if you will. He's writing things that are going down in Scripture that Peter would say that this is part of the Scriptures, part of the holy men of God, moved by the Spirit to write this. Even Peter would make that claim in his second letter at the end that Paul's writings were part of Scripture, that he was the man God used to bring this glorious message of grace to the world outside of the Jewish people.